The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Craig Burley. We start things off at Stamford Bridge, where it finished Chelsea 1, Manchester United 1. Cristiano Ronaldo dropped from the starting 11 by Michael Carrick. Chelsea would pretty much boss the game, but be United who would take the lead. Nice finish from Jadon Sancho after a poor clearance from Jorginho, but Jorginho would make amends 20 minutes later as he would score a penalty after Thiago Silva would be brought down as it would finish 1-1. Jules and Frank are with us, as you see now. Chelsea at 1 point clear at the top of the table. Manchester City, of course, winning earlier in the day. Before we get to our French contingents, Craig, what do you make of it all today?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of ways to look at it. It's not a gift. The gift from Jorginho was not so much a gift for Man United, although it did get them a point in the end, but it was a gift for City and Liverpool, because though City and Liverpool getting mixed up because they would have been looking for United to get something, yeah. Because United are not in the title race, and that sort of helped them out a little bit. I was intrigued by those trying to suggest that because United got the goal and there was a little bit of fight, that this was like a the old sort of game. This the old United again. It wasn't a football match per se. Yeah, they got this goal. Yeah, they defended decently and they set the stall out. It was one-way traffic for the most part. But it's all down to Chelsea for me. You know, team selection, substitutions, quality in the final third. United were always going to come and sit in and make it difficult. They're not good enough to compete with the top three boys in the Premier League at the moment. That's crystal clear. So there's no surprise Chelsea dominated. But starting with Timo Werner, I mean, I was talking to you about it. The two German players that they signed, Werner and Havertz, are both, I would say, frustrating at times. But I get more frustrated watching Werner than I do Kai Havertz. Mm-hmm. And then to keep him for 81 minutes or whatever it was before he takes him off, yeah, was also a surprise. And the fact, you know, Ziyech as well with Mount on, you know, these kind of things, I think, cost Chelsea today, as well as the bad touch. And yeah, dominant performance with the ball, but actually quite poor in the final third.
Yeah, from a Chelsea perspective, Frank, you felt that Manchester United were there to be had, and obviously they kind of let them off the hook a bit, didn't they?
Well, you know, the thing is, you know, it happened against Burnley, you know, like a fortnight ago, where Chelsea didn't give what they had to give at home. And they were kind of looking for, you know, the right way to proceed in that way. So I'm not surprised, and I'm with Craig. I'm not surprised to see Manchester United dealing with Chelsea today, because Chelsea didn't find a change of pace, a change of rhythm in a way. And I'm very disappointed for the Blues, because they didn't do and didn't. Yeah, they didn't give what they had to give to make sure they're going to win that game. And I'm again with Craig. It's a big opportunity for City and Liverpool to get closer to Chelsea. So Chelsea punished themselves by not doing what they had to do to win that game.
Jules, you were at the game. What was your big takeaway from the bridge?
I have to say, I disagree slightly with the boys. I thought Chelsea played well. I thought they created enough chances to win that game. I mean, if Hudson-Odoi scores very early in the game, it's a completely different story. Even right at the end, the Rudiger one, I mean, there was Werner had a couple. There was a lot of ball into the United box that, okay, maybe the last pass or in the box, it was not always as clinical as it should have been. But I spoke to Tuchel after the game, and he said that he had no regrets because his team played exactly the way they should have played. The problem problem, like Craig said, it was attack v defense. There was only one team that was there to play football. The other was there to defend. It was 11 men behind the ball for United and hoping for a mistake, which happened. So I guess they were happy with it. And Jorginho really sort of misjudged whatever he was going to do with that long ball on that corner. But apart from that, I think Chelsea don't really have anything to be angry with, because like Tuchel said, they played the game they wanted to play. It was just a shame they were not clinical enough.
But it's all about, you know, stats are stats, and clearly Chelsea were super dominant. And I agree, and I thought they did play well up to a point. They played great against Burnley, who are a much weaker team, dropped 2 points. They played well up to a point, didn't take all that possession, all those balls into the box against Burnley to make 3 points. It was 1-0, they equalised later on. It's close in this United game. They don't look like doing anything until a mistake, but it's a gift. And when games are that close, that could be the difference between winning the title and not at the end. And that comes down to the final third. It comes down to team selection. It comes down to personnel. I'll go back to it. You know, the Timo Werners, the Hakim Ziyech. And you've got Havertz on the bench. You've got Lukaku on the bench, who's been injured. How fit is he? Is he fit enough to play more than 9 or 10 minutes? Mm. No, if he's not, don't have him on the bench. So it's these small things from Chelsea's perspective. As for United, I just, you know, people were saying this is more, again, it goes back to it. This is
what
more
did you make of not starting Ronaldo?
I thought it was a big deal. And I'll tell you why. Because if Michael Carrick said, I wanted to play, and that looks as if Rashford and Sancho are playing as a front two. They didn't. They played as a wide two because they tried to stop the two centre-backs of Chelsea coming out, and Fernandes played as a false nine. If I'm going to play a false nine, inverted commas, in the modern game, and I'm going to have two younger lads on the outside of me to make runs, I'm going to play Ronaldo because he can come back and give a little bit of help. Not, you know, probably the same as Fernandes, and he's got a bigger goal threat going forward. So, and I get it, Champions League, but that was Tuesday. This is Sunday. They don't play Arsenal till Thursday. I get it, players need rest. But Ronaldo, for me, needs rest against the smaller teams, so-called smaller teams in the Premier League. He's a big game player, and he turns up in big games. Chelsea, Man United, we know United are not in the title race, but Chelsea, Man United is still a gold standard game in the Premier League. And I thought that was a huge call not to have him in the starter, particularly when Bruno Fernandes has been out of form anyway. So I thought that was a huge call for Man United not to play him. I thought it was a mistake. But they'll say, well, we got a point in the end. But really, the gulf between the sides was huge. But if you're going to be reliant at times when if Lukaku's out and Werner getting the goals, that's a problem. It's a problem.
Go on, Frank.
At first I thought, you know, not having Ronaldo on the field was a big mistake from Michael Carrick. But at the end of the day, you know, the one who shouldn't have played if Ronaldo would have been on would have been Sancho, I think. And Sancho is the one who scored the goal. So there is a little bit of something that I understand in that matter, where I guess Ronaldo, with his age, cannot play 38 games, plus the Champions League, plus the FA Cup and the League Cup. So he has to be a substitute sometimes. I think it was clever enough from Michael Carrick to put on Sancho and Rashford at front. Because in the counter-attack, they're very fast, and they did exactly what they had to do on the goal they score. And, you know, surprising Chelsea, because we all know that is not the pace of some players at Chelsea, except Reece James at the back, are not their best. And having Sancho and Rashford against you, it's a nightmare in that matter. And it's what really happened during the game, and especially from that goal.
If you ever saw a team, and I'm not, listen, the Man United have got a point. They've finally done the right thing. They've sacked Solskjaer, right? They're hiring Rangnick. Ralph Rangnick. They can move on. This team needs coaching as much as any team in the Premier League.
Right.
It needs an identity. To go down to Stamford Bridge, even when you're having the problems that you're having, and to sit in and think that you can just defend and let them have, you know, a gazillion corners and balls flying in the box and people off form missing chances and then going on a gift from Jorginho, and that's where it was. And really not looking, apart from a mistake from Mendy at the end. Not, in fact, when the goal came, it was their only shot on target. And that is not acceptable, I'm sorry. And you can walk away with a point and go, that was a good point to Stamford Bridge. It was in terms of the result. But once again, in terms of the performance, that performance was a categoric, please get this guy in and get some transformation to these players who are better than that. They're better than just going to Stamford Bridge and being pummeled for the best part of 90 minutes and coming away with a point. That's not something Manchester United do as a club, as a team, and with this squad of players. They might not be the best squad of players in the Premier League, but they're better than going there and thinking they're just going to sit in right for 90 minutes and scrape a point because of a mistake.
There was a bit of a hoo-ha on Twitter at the full-time whistle and the reaction of Cristiano Ronaldo, Jules. As someone who's there, I just wondered what you made of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I was probably walking towards getting down for the flash interview, so I didn't see it. I have to say, I thought Ronaldo being dropped was huge and was a mistake. I cannot understand how he cannot start a game like this. And you can tell me, yeah, but they wanted to press higher, and we saw them at the beginning, as soon as kickoff, they went to press. Ronaldo can run. He can press. You can't ask him to press for 90 minutes like, I don't know, like a Guardiola would want, for example. Probably, maybe, but he would have done tonight exactly the same than Rashford and Sancho, by the way, who did nothing at all in the game apart from being there on that Jorginho mistake, which they deserve credit, I guess, for. But for the rest, nothing. Or Bruno Fernandes, I think he would have done the same. I don't understand why Ronaldo didn't start, but it's a point. But to the point that I thought this is Ralf Rangnick picking up the team. And for him, in his mind, for the high press and the intensity, Ronaldo for a game like this can't play, can't start. I was told, no, Rangnick has nothing to do with it. Fletcher with his earpiece, this is, or with his earphone, he's not on the phone to Rangnick. Rangnick is not involved here. I have to be honest here, I'm still very suspicious. But I believe what people tell me then, and maybe Rangnick had nothing to do with it, but I find really strange that Michael Carrick, for his last game in charge, drops Ronaldo, and suddenly those players try to run and press. It was very disjointed, like almost they didn't really know how to do it, and it didn't work because Chelsea were by far the better team. But yeah, that's my suspicion.
Some people weren't happy because Ronaldo went straight off at the full-time whistle.
Yeah.
And didn't applaud the crowd.
I don't care. It's all about. I tell you what, I would go down the tunnel if I was left out and I'd sat and watched a performance like that, just defending. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm sorry, but you have to be better than that. Look, from Chelsea's perspective, a couple of things. One, I couldn't get my head around people debating whether it was a penalty or not.
Right.
Seriously, I mean, if you don't understand when somebody kicks somebody.
That's stupid.
Yeah, it's just stupid. I mean, honestly, never engage with anybody on Twitter.
Yes, right? Yeah, you know that.
But some of the opinions are just like, they're just stupid. And the second point was, I thought people might think, Jorginho, penalties.
Yeah.
He's missed one or two. His penalty misses recently, one of them has cost his, no, one of them has basically sent his country into the playoffs.
Yeah, again, exactly.
Now, he's not getting blamed for that because people can miss a penalty, but that's what rested on it. The fact that against Switzerland, he changed his style and he blazed it over the bar. And here we have a penalty in a game. It's not against a direct title rival, but it's a big game. It can have an impact at the end of the season. We're a long way away. And he stepped up and slotted it away brilliantly, bearing in mind he's missed a couple of high profile ones recently.
Yep.
I was half expecting Marcus Alonso to step up and smash it in with his technique, but fair play to him. He made a huge mistake in the game. He's had a horrendous time with penalties recently in massive games, and he stepped up and he took that one on the chin. Yeah. I thought that showed, I can't say the word exactly, but I thought it showed a lot of stomach.
No, it's interesting, Frank, as the man who used to take penalties for Chelsea, as Craig said, that certainly was quite a show of character from the Italian, who have missed some big-time penalties recently.
Yes, and I really wondered if he was ready just before he shot the penalty. I was looking at his face, and I say, well, it doesn't seem to be any doubts, you know, on the body language, I would say. But you have to be you have to be strong in your head. He's an experienced player, and I wouldn't have been harsh on him if he would have missed the penalty. I've been very harsh on what he did on the big mistake, because you have to head the ball and you take it away. You don't try to control the ball. But I found him very strong, you know, especially straight after that mistake, and he scored, and he's fine, because he's gonna maybe excuse him a little bit for the mistake in a way, and give him a little bit more confidence for next games.
Thanks, Frank. Elsewhere, as I mentioned, Manchester City with a 2-1 victory over West Ham. Meanwhile, Brentford beating Everton by 1-0, and a big win for Leicester as they beat Watford to move up to 10th in the table.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Lionel Messi provided all three assists of PSG's 3-1 victory against Saint-Étienne. The hosts would take the lead early on, but PSG coming back to take all 3 points. They are then 12 points clear at the top of the table. But the big story, of course, coming out of that game, Neymar going off late, injured. He looked to be in some pain. Julien Laurent with us. So, Jules, what's the latest you can tell us on this?
The latest is that he did some scans, was certainly some exams on his ankle when they came back to Paris just a few hours ago, where the first diagnostic from the PhD medical staff was at least 6 weeks out. Wow. He will have more scans tomorrow, x-rays and everything tomorrow morning, on Monday morning in Paris, to establish a bit more maybe the seriousness of the injury, but it didn't look good. I guess 6 to 8 weeks is probably, I think, the ballpark that we can tell all our viewers for today, for right now. He was in a lot of pain. We saw him crying when he was coming off the pitch on the stretcher. And I think it's an unfortunate one. The way he falls, obviously, the way the ankle twists, the tackle by Masson, the young player who, by the way, has received a lot of racial abuse, death threats, everything you want on social media after the tackle, where clearly his intent was not to injure Neymar, despite what happened just after, you know, during the tackle. But for PSG, they just hope that it won't be too serious, or certainly not more than 6 to 8 weeks.
What the hell's wrong with people these days?
I don't know.
No, but I'm serious. We're talking about a game of football here. Guy gets injured, it's an occupational hazard.
Yeah, because
hazard.
We talk about them. We talk about them too much.
Nobody
we
wants
take
to
care of them.
Nobody
we take care of Twitter. We take care of Twitter every time we mention Twitter. So people get the feeling that they have an importance because of making a comment where they know nothing about football, like the penalty on Thiago Silva, like the injury on Neymar, where, well, you have the right to tackle. He didn't touch Neymar. Neymar stood up on the player's foot and twisted his ankle. It's very sad, it's hurtful, everything. But Masson has to play football. And people who don't know football should shut up. For once, just for once, you know, because they know nothing. They even criticize us. They think that we know nothing about football. I just want to tell them, we know 1,000 times better than you, you know. So shut up, please.
But it's embarrassing anyway to not label the idiots that go on and make stupid threats to people. Was most of us that have played the game, not everybody, but most of us have had these kind of injuries because the ankle. In fact, the older you get, I found that almost myself included was strapping both ankles up at the end. I mean, almost to an extent where your ankle had hardly any movement in it.
Right.
You know, because, you know, once you make that kind of injury with the ligaments, essentially, even with all the rehab, it's still a weak point. And don't forget, with your ankle, clearly, your full body weight's going through it. So when you're taking off and landing, most of the time it's your body weight. So it has to be extremely strong. And unless the ligaments are completely ripped, Jules is right, it's normally you're looking at, say, worst case is a couple of months,
okay,
give or take. So it depends on the rehab. But clearly you have to wait for a lot of the swelling to go down to scan. Yeah. and see what the extent of the damage is. But what you saw by the pictures, just how it turns there, it kind of gives you that sick feeling in your stomach because your whole body weight goes over on it. There's nothing you can do about it. And he is going to be out for a considerable period of time. It may, and I don't want to use this as some sort of segue, but it may give Pochettino a chance to do something that we talked about during the week after the debacle at the Etihad when they got completely outplayed, is find a way without that front three to get a better balance in the PSG side. Now, it's not because somebody's got injured, but somebody's injury gives an opportunity for A, another player, or B, a different shape to the team. And so we'll see if this injury, one, how long it is, and two, what Pochettino's going to do in terms of personnel and whether he changes the shape of the PSG team to make sure in the bigger games they're a lot more solid.
Frank?
Yes, I don't think he's going to change anything. You know.
Well, he'll have to change Neymar.
I agree with Craig. It would be, well, he will have to change Neymar. He will put Di Maria and will keep on playing at three at front, which is, I think, a mistake. Well, I guess maybe because Ramos is back, they're going to play at three at the back at some point, so fill up a little bit more the midfield zone. But they're going to play at three at front. Otherwise, they're going to lose Di Maria. If Neymar is injured and he doesn't put Di Maria on, Di Maria's going to be upset and it's going to be a big mess and it's not going to work. But I think it's what it is. It's what it is at Paris Saint-Germain.
Messi with a hat-trick of assists, though, we saw today, Jules.
Yeah, that was great. Hit the outside of the post as well in a game that was not easy under the snow against a team that played with 11 men and then 10 men behind the ball, as we would expect from Saint-Etienne when they host PSG. And he tried. It could have been even better, certainly. He tried. Craig is right. The free kick is an assist, of course, and it's a well-taken free kick, but there's a lot of players who could have taken that one in that way. The one for Di Maria is much nicer, especially the footwork before that. But he's getting there. First goal last weekend, hat-trick of assists, Sergio Ramos, first appearance, not just first start, but also first appearance, full stop, first game since the beginning of May, first game ever for PSG, that's good, and now we will see what Pochettino is going to do in terms of back three or back four, what happens with that Neymar, with Di Maria, whoever else, 4-4-2, whatever he wants to do, to try to do. They've got midweek games, like in the Premier League as well, the following weekend, so, and then obviously the Champions League, so it'll be interesting the next few weeks.
And he's going to get the Ballon d'Or tomorrow, Jules?
I believe so. That might disappoint a lot of people, although the editor of France Football today said, I'm sure a lot of people will be happy when they will finally find out who wins the Ballon d'Or on Monday. Well, sorry to disappoint you, we know who we are, and I think a lot of people won't be happy and will be disappointed. Because obviously a lot of players had big reasons why they should have won it. Lewandowski, of course, plenty of others. Karim Benzema in my liking. And Messi won the Copa America, of course, and still scored 30 goals in 36 La Liga games last season. It's great. But I think a lot of people felt maybe this was the time where someone else apart from Cristiano and Leo would win it.
If he was French, Jules, you'd be all over him.
Oh, 100%. I think, Kylian should win next year, for sure.
Ballon d'Or's tomorrow.
Ballon d'Or's tomorrow and you're off. Oh, what fantastic timing.
Is that just coincidence? Or did my boss know that the Ballon d'Or was tomorrow?
Hey,
I'm coming on.
Please don't.
I'm off too.
Please don't.
Craig,
Frank,
I'm off too, so don't worry. I think it's a plan.
They call it the Ballon 6 months.
Why?
Well, he's 6 months. Where's he been for 6 months?
Nice.
He crying when he left Barcelona. That rules me out straight away.
Right. What, for crying?
And he's been at PSG, and we're digging out a couple of crosses into the box and saying, Messi's back.
There you are, hat-trick of assists
what
he got.
What about Mo Salah?
What about Mo Salah?
He's not been bad, is he, to be fair?
Do you want to engage in this argument?
No,
why are you bringing it up?
Well, I'm already frustrated about it. Freaking Ballon d'Or.
We will, of course, be discussing the results of the Ballon d'Or and Messi going on to win
it. You won't be. Are you here?
I'm here tomorrow, yeah.
Good.
I don't mind, do I?
I'm wallowing in your Ballon d'Or pit.
I don't mind.
You do mind, you hate it.
Be sure to join us.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Real Madrid 2, Sevilla 1 is how it finished at the Santiago Bernabeu. Sevilla would take the lead early on and they were a much better side. But it would be a goalkeeping error from Bono that would give Real Madrid a chance to get back into the game, one that Benzema would take. 1-1 was pretty much how it looked like it was going to finish, but for a brilliant finish from Vinicius Junior would hand Carlo Ancelotti's side the victory and put them now 4 points clear at the top of La Liga table. Craig, this game just felt like it was going to fizzle out. It was going to be a point apiece. Probably both teams not too dissatisfied with it. And then Vinicius Junior with an absolute rocket.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the most convincing, but Ancelotti has a bit of consistency about his team selection. That helps. Then there's a spark of genius from Vinicius Junior. And actually one of his quieter games.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been pretty sensational recently. Today, not so much so. Maybe a lot to do with Sevilla's performance, how they kept him quiet. Until that moment, he stepped up, scored a brilliant goal. Sevilla were really, really good. And then after taking the lead, they gifted Benzema an equaliser. And they never really looked like scoring after that. They had a lot of domination in the middle of the park. And then seemed to tire near the end, which was quite worrying. And Ancelotti's side got the 3 points. But interesting with all these games coming up, how he's going to rotate that midfield three in particular.
Yeah.
Who are not... They're all the wrong side of 30, I believe. Certainly Modric and Kroos are... Modric's been 36 and there's a lot of games coming up, so yes, somebody has to step in there.
Yeah, start of a heavy schedule. It's interesting, wasn't it? The start of the season, we talked about Eden Hazard. What sort of performance is Carlo Ancelotti going to get from him? He doesn't even have a chance now with Vinicius Junior.
Well, think about it. When we first started this season with La Liga on this channel, it was Hazard and Bale, and you're thinking, is he going to give him a chance for the rest of the year? But clearly, I think Karim Benzema must have been in the office and said, get these two oldies out, get me some younger people in amongst me. With Asensio in there as well, who didn't have a great game today, was substituted. But it's some young legs for Karim Benzema as well to work off. And I think it's so far Ancelotti's found a good balance about the side. But I still think defensively, Dan, they're a bit vulnerable.
Sid Lowe was at the game for us and he caught up with David Alaba.
Yeah, we're of course very happy to reach our goal. We wanted to have these 3 points. We wanted to win this game at home. And we all knew that Sevilla is very dangerous, a really good team. And we wanted to show a sign, I guess, also. And we wanted to show our mentality, our character of this team. And it went very well, I guess. No, I guess we all knew that they really have a good team with a lot of qualities in their squad, so they didn't surprise us. But of course, we wanted to put our solutions on the pitch, and sometimes it went well in the first half, sometimes not. But after the halftime, I guess we put a lot of pressure. I didn't see the situation yet, but maybe a touch was there, I guess. But I think he felt very easy after my touch. It maybe was too easy and not enough. Of course, every single player is important to us. The season till now showed it very well that we have a really good squad, and not only 11 players. We need all the whole squad to be successful at the end of the day. So we are really, really glad to have this quality. I think you saw everything in the last couple of months that he's very important to us, that he have really a lot of qualities, and he's in a really good shape at the moment. That he didn't show it that only tonight, I guess, in the last couple of months, that he's working very hard and it pays off.
Someone cut out all your questions, Sid, in that interview. I wouldn't take it personally. I think there were some audio issues. Sid, talk us through the Vinicius goal from the pitch side's perspective.
Well, look... here's the bit where I make a confession, Daniel.
You're in the bar
because we have to get to the flash zone. Yeah, no. I was in the bar having a drink. Because we have to get from pitch side to the flash zone area where we do those post-game interviews, you basically have to leave your position about 3 or 4 minutes before the final whistle.
Brilliant.
So I am going up the stairs at the side of the pitch when Vinicius scores. Now, I'm pleased to say there was enough of a kind of a, oh, here it goes from the crowd for me to turn and see this ball absolutely rocket through the air. But unfortunately, I didn't see it rocketing towards me.
Sid, what I thought was interesting was his reaction in the fact that he was pointing to the badge, pointing to the ground and pointing to calm down. Amongst a little speculation, obviously, we heard with Mbappe coming in, there was question marks just exactly where his future lies with Madrid. Was that all to do with that?
No, to be honest with you, I think it's a little bit more simple than that, because truth be told, obviously, in the summer, when the discussions were about Mbappe coming in, then absolutely people would have said, yeah, the natural place for him to play in this team is where Vinicius plays, and Vinicius doesn't have a place in the team. Since the summer, there is absolutely no doubt in Spain now that Vinicius continues even with Mbappe, and that you find a way to accommodate both of them with Karim Benzema. He's not under pressure in that sense, Vinicius. So I think his response is much more about saying, you know, this is in hand. Don't worry about it. This is a player who we talked about before, was under pressure last year, found himself, I think, in a position where he didn't always feel comfortable and he wasn't always taking good decisions. And now he's getting it right week after week. And you, as you say, you cut out my questions to David Alaba after the game. And I think you did it deliberately, by the way. There's also a bit where the question to him about Vinicius was, can you tell us something new about Vinicius that we haven't said in the last 3 or 4 weeks when he's played brilliantly? And I'd like to point this out and make it very clear, Daniel. He said, that's a good question. Because, of course, after Cillessen last week basically said, mate, you're an idiot, so I just want to make it clear that this time he said that's a good question. But the point I really mean to make by that is that, you know, this is a Vinicius who has performed brilliantly almost every week this year. So I think his response and his celebration was more about, yeah, this is where I want to be. This is going to work now. And everybody is very much on his side. By the way, Carlo Ancelotti, talking post-game, even suggested that this could be a Ballon d'Or winner in the future.
Oh, yes, exactly. Add that to the mix in the Ballon d'Or.
Oh, my God. Oh, let me tell you. Hold on.
We're going home now. That's it.
All right, call it a night. Oh, come on. What, you got stuffed in that court? A few games ago, he couldn't get a game. Now he's got him down as a...
Now he's only 21. There we go.
Now, thanks, by the way, Sid,
thanks for getting him involved, Sid.
Never turn your back on play, Sid. Even if you've got to walk to the zone, what zone is it?
Flash zone. Flash zone, yeah.
Even if you've got to walk to the flash zone, back the way. Never turn your back on.
Yeah, you've got to do the moonwalk. You've got to moonwalk back to the flash zone like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Oh,
look at those moves, Sid. 4 points clear at the top of the table. Real Madrid big favourites now, Sid, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, we were talking about this pre-game, weren't we? This is a start of a run in which Real Madrid were playing Sevilla, Athletic Club in midweek. They go away to Real Sociedad at the weekend, who, of course, were leaders until last week. They've got the Madrid derby in 2 weeks' time. And then they've got Athletic again, by the way, just before Christmas. So it's a really, really big run of games. I suppose the question mark is, can they continue to play the same 11? And I think we perhaps saw that tonight in that change, didn't we, with 20 minutes to go of Valverde and Camavinga going on in midfield, giving them some real athleticism, some legs, obviously the intelligence to play as well. But I think more than anything else, a freshness. Mm. Because we talked about that midfield three, hadn't we, in the build-up to this game as being the best midfield three maybe in the world, going back 10 years now. And actually, I thought for a lot of tonight, we saw Fernando, Joan Jordan and Ivan Rakitic get the better of them.
Sid Lowe, go and warm up. Thank you very much, as always. Moonwalk your way back home.
Pleasure. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
In Italy today, well, it's more disappointment for AC Milan, losing at home against Sassuolo by 3-1. Meanwhile, Napoli beat Lazio by 4-0 to extend their lead at the top of the table here. How things stand. Napoli 3 clear then of Milan. Inter, of course, after that win yesterday, up to third in the table and continue to chase down those teams at the top. Gab, this time, what? At the start of last weekend, Milan were unbeaten. Beaten. Everything was great. Back-to-back defeats now. What's going wrong?
Well, back-to-back defeats with a pretty impressive victory over Atletico Madrid away in the Champions League sandwiched in there. I don't know that there's really a pattern to this, although Pioli did come out and say, well, we've conceded 7 goals in the past 2 games and so on. I think Sassuolo are just a really good side that, especially against bigger teams, create a lot of trouble for you. They were the last team to beat Milan at the San Siro. So, you know, you could kind of see this coming, I think. And they were always going to drop points at some point. More worrying for them, obviously, is the Napoli result on Sunday night.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Napoli result in a moment. But going forward, you just feel this is nothing more than a blip, Gab?
Well, look, I mean, they were going at a really high pace. They weren't going to maintain that pace the whole season. But I don't think it's a case where, you know, you throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think they really struggle defensively when Tomori's not there. Even if you go back and you break down the goals, you've got a wonder strike from Scamacca. You have, you know, a care own goal where Maignan saves it and it bounces in off him. And then you've got a third goal towards the end after Milan had gone down to 10 men. This wasn't a great performance. They rotated, I think, the right amount. I just think it's something you take on the chin and you bounce back from. I don't think it's anything where you set off alarm bells beyond the importance of having your best players fit and available.
Well, again, moving on to the point that you made, Gab, obviously in the late game on Sunday in Italy, Napoli cruising to victory, thrashing Lazio by 4-0.
Dan, this was special, and obviously it was special and it was emotional, and the risk of being absolutely corny, the whole evening was about a tribute to Diego Armando Maradona. They had a tribute before kickoff. They wore those shirts with Maradona's face on them. Obviously, they were without Victor Osimhen. People were concerned about that. As it turned out to be, they needn't be, because, you know, they blitzed them. They ran out to 3-0 lead early. Dries Mertens playing center forward in place of Osimhen. A lot of people speculating that, you know, Dries Mertens is older now and it's time for him to move on, and there's the issue with his contract, and this is now Osimhen's team. Well, taking advantage of the fact that Osimhen's not there, Mertens, I think, really, really made his mark. Some tremendous goals. Even beyond that, they were just moving the ball around, one touch, kind of the way they did under Maurizio Sarri, ironically, who was obviously across the way from them on the Lazio bench. A tremendous, emphatic win, a statement win, I think, for Napoli, especially given their defeat in the Europa League midweek in against Spartak Moscow.
Gab Marcotti, as always, thank you very much. A lot more from Gab. Goodness me, they're going to have a lot to talk about on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which drops on Monday.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Well, that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show.
World Cup, I'm going.
Oh, it'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? Oh, you'd be so grumpy.
I'll bring you some live.
Yeah, live insight into it.
No walking to
Thank you very much, everyone who has been on. Gab and Frank back with us. Craig as well, obviously, for extra time. Stay tuned. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Craig Burley with us here in the studio. Gab Marcotti joins us as well. Frank LaBeouf, who's been serving us quite some content, hasn't he? On Instagram recently with your muscle toning, Frank. Oh, look at this.
Yeah.
Oh, Zeke, you timed that really badly. I was on a shot with Frank. Yeah. Do you want to walk in again with it?
One more time.
Thank you very much. It's my birthday today. Shouldn't you be saying something like, well done, happy birthday, made this cake for you?
Happy 41st birthday, Dan.
Yeah, brilliant.
It's off the show. where was mine on my birthday?
I don't know, you probably weren't working
on
your
birthday. I was in.
Were you?
Yes. And it was a big one as well.
It was a big birthday?
Yeah.
There you go. They want to see the cake.
What did the producer tell me to show off the cake? Get lost. freaking throw it at the camera now. I'll tell you what, I'm going to step in it now.
Oh, there you are. Beautiful. Yeah. There we go. Thank you very much.
I know my job in the world.
Much appreciated.
Showing off your cake.
Yeah, beautiful. I want to get back to you, Frank, and your muscle recovery. You don't have Instagram, do you, Craig?
No.
You should have seen. Frank, why were you so vocal when you were getting it done? Did it hurt?
What is it?
Oh, good. We can't hear Frank. Listen, that's my birthday present.
It's electrical, so it's it hurts and it works on your deep muscles. So yeah, it's intense. So it's good, and it's a plus, you know, for after the workout, you know. But because it's your birthday today, but it's also my daughter's birthday.
Yeah.
You know, I want to sing for you. Happy birthday to both of you. Happy birthday to both of you. And I love you.
Oh, thank you very much, Frank. I love you as well. Beautiful.
I preferred it when his mate wasn't.
I don't know where the question.
I actually went for a napkin and midfielder vision. There was some here.
Are the questions buried in the cake? I don't know. I don't have any questions. So we'll have to read them. Here we go. Here comes the first one.
Somebody's going to jump out the cake now.
Really? It's not very small.
Well, it's amazing because you were unwell in the show last week.
In there.
And somebody thought you weren't actually going to get 41.
Was Carrick's back eight with McTominay, Fred and Matic a good tactical decision, or were United lucky not to have lost today?
Well, luck's what you make it, and luck's about bad finishing as well. But there's no doubt that it wasn't a huge tactical master plan. It was more just Chelsea not being clinical enough in the final third, and maybe that was down to personnel. And there's your question, son. Maybe that was down to personnel and just a bit of bad finishing. So it wasn't a tactical masterclass, no.
Gab, should Carrick get the job?
God. Happy birthday, Dan.
Thank you very much.
I didn't get a chance to wish you happy birthday first.
And 41, huh?
Speaking of birthdays, Michael Carrick and I share the same birthday, so I do wish him well. But no, I don't believe he should get the job. I think that whatever plan they have, which seems to be the caretaker to interim to permanent manager, they should stick with that. They made a mistake once before in having an interim manager, saying we'll appoint a real one at the end of the season, and then getting carried away and then appointing him in March. No, none of this. Celebrate the draw, thank Carrick, hopefully he'll learn and contribute to the club long term, blah blah blah. But no, do not make him permanent manager.
So he actually
not now.
No, he's not getting the job, clearly. And nor he should, but he actually spoke quite well before the game. I don't know, which is a start if you'd listened recently to Man United,
right,
Solskjaer's interviews. But he did say that Cristiano had taken it really well. Pinocchio's on the background. Yes.
He's fine. He's all right.
Seriously, I actually had a really good conversation with Cristiano. He's taken it really well. That one of the biggest games in the calendar year for Manchester United, you're not playing. So yeah.
Because he obviously features in the Juventus documentary, which I know you wouldn't have watched. But Gab, it's the first time I've had a chance to talk to you since I've seen the clip of Weston McKennie talking about the fact that he loves to put ranch sauce on his pizza. And is it Bonucci that he's chatting to? He just looks at him as if he's just a complete madman.
I haven't seen it, but look, you know my views on this. A lot of people are into very different things. Some people like put ranch sauce on pizza. You know what? I don't view it as cultural appropriation by Weston McKennie. I believe he's from Texas. He can do whatever he likes. Just don't call it pizza and don't make people like Bonucci eat it or they'll get very, very cross.
It's horrible that.
It was a great exchange. He's like, what? On a pizza? It's very cool, very cool.
It's not cool. You can't put guff like that on a pizza.
No, I know. Well, that's here you go. But I have pineapple. I have pineapple on a pizza, don't I? So.
Well, you don't count.
Why not?
Yeah, that's just gross.
Yeah,
it's not gross. It's nice.
Pineapple on pizza. I'm actually to your point.
No, it's not.
You're right. I haven't.
You're
seen
insulting all Italians doing that.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Italians don't care, do they? As Gab says.
You got a nice Italian.
Yeah, as Gab.
Oh, wait, look, we don't care what you do in your own house with your own pizza and your own ranch sauce. We don't care about that, okay? We care when you make crappy products and you call them, you pretend that they're Italian, which I've seen all over Eastern Europe, I've seen in the US, I see sometimes in that upsets and offends me. If you want to take a piece of leavened bread, put some cheese on it, and call it pizza, and then you can go ahead. You can put, you know, Mike and Ike on there. You can put ranch sauce. You can put motor oil on there for all I care. Okay? Just don't pretend that it has anything to do with what it was originally.
Brilliant. Well,
didn't you take us to a restaurant several times in Cardiff that had pictures on the menu?
Oh, wow.
No, that Italian.
But that's the worst. That's the worst.
What was that?
They had pictures of famous people, Craig. It's a bit different. You had pictures of the owner posing with every famous Welshman in history. That's not the menu that you're going
to
eat.
I thought it was pictures on the menu, because if you go to a restaurant and they've got pictures on the menu, you must walk out straight away.
You know you're in a touristy place. Just like,
I agree with that, but the man's in Wales. He's got to sell food, right? to local Welsh people.
Anyway, to your point.
It's easier. You speak a different language there, don't they?
You sneered at me for not watching...
Yes.
The Juventus video. How do you know I've not watched the Juventus documentary?
Because you don't.
I've just watched the Crystal Palace one. And I hear you say, I didn't even know there was one about Crystal Palace. There is.
Right.
I've been watching that.
Have you?
Yes.
Why?
I haven't finished it.
Have you
watching it?
I didn't even know there was one.
Correct. I just said that.
Well, there you go. Oh, I apologise.
Many
Craig.
Things that you don't know.
No, I know.
If you keep that on, you'll not get to 42.
Ah, right. Gab. Liverpool and City.
You're taking that home tonight?
Yeah. Well, yes. What else am I going to do with it?
Kids are going to. Josh will put your son will put his face right in the middle of it.
Yeah, well, there you go. I'll stick it in there. Right, Gab. Liverpool and City seem to submit teams.
Stick it.
Whilst Chelsea rely on goals from defenders and saves from Mendy. Are Chelsea going to fade away?
It's one way to look at it, or you could say what happens if Chelsea start playing really, really well, if Lukaku gets fit, if he becomes the offensive terminus they expect him to, if, you know, out of Pulisic and Mount and Ziyech, he finds, and Havertz and Werner, he finds, you know, the right balance, and Hudson-Odoi as well, and then they can outlast everybody. I don't think, except maybe for the last couple of games before this one, I don't think Chelsea have necessarily been outstanding, but they are top of the table. I think that tells you that when you've got a good manager, you know, you've got another level to go to. That said, for me, I think out of these three teams, I think City still have the highest ceiling of the three.
Oh, absolutely. And when did that ever
become... It's funny to hear... Sorry.
No, go on.
Sorry, it's funny to see that... Sorry, it's funny to see that 4 days after... seeing Chelsea beating Juventus and a week after Chelsea beat Leicester 3-0, you know, people can change their mind and find, you know, Chelsea not as good as the others. You know, where like Thursday, they would have said, last Thursday, they would have said, well, Chelsea is on fire. Mm. So, you know, we live in a what I call the immediate emergency where, you know, what you learn one day is forgotten the day after because of an event. So we are not consistent whatsoever in that world. And that's funny to hear those questions. I don't know, Shakir, and maybe he loves Liverpool and City. But I still believe also like Gab that City is maybe the favorite of the three. But you shouldn't, you know, think that a team is dead because he drew against Manchester United.
Quite profound. Maybe you should write a book, Frank.
It's not a problem if you keep us making saves, is it?
With two goals in two games for Sancho and Rangnick coming in, how good can he get at United?
Well, he needs... I mean, he was better in the second half at Villarreal. He got a gift in this one that he took well. There was nothing else about the performance that stood out. But clearly he needs to find... his feet at that club. He needs a run on the team to find out if he's consistent. Listen, if I'm spending whatever they spent on him, $100 million plus or whatever it is, then I'm sure as hell going to expect when he plays some consistency eventually. So I haven't got the answer because I don't know what Ranić's going to do apart from what their backside's off.
Have you ever seen a manager bench a star player before a big match, Frank, but did not provide a clear reason for his actions?
Yes. Gianfranco Zola, the final of the Cup Winners' Cup. Vialli was the coach. Therefore, he decided to put himself on the field and put Gianfranco Zola on the bench. You know? And I think Gianfranco substituted Torre André Flo and after 30 seconds scored a goal and we won 1-0. He was so upset. Yes, I saw that.
I'll tell you what, the worst one I ever saw was this Dutch guy. And he benched this Scottish fella.
Oh, really? Was it some sort of FA Cup final?
Before, in an FA Cup final, and he left it to the morning of the match to do it and never said a dick, never said a word.
Oh.
It was.
Did you and Hulle ever have a conversation about
it? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, no.
No?
Did we ever have a conversation about it?
Yeah.
No, because the season ended and then we...
But then your paths must have crossed at some stage.
Well,
well,
we went on an end-of-season tour.
Well, there you are, yeah.
Frank, you might remember that. We went to... I do believe we went to Hong Kong or Malaysia or Thailand.
Yes. But knowing you in the way that you are, I can't imagine you could let that rest, could you?
I can't remember. I didn't make too big a deal of it.
It's still bringing it up, what, 25 years later?
Yeah, jokingly. I didn't really bring it up. They made a decision and that was it. So sometimes you've got to accept these things.
Would you ever drop jewels, Gab, without an explanation?
Drop jewels for Augie? No.
Well, no, not for Augie, obviously. Someone decent.
It is called the Gab and Jewels Show. I do not have the power to drop jewels. We're equal partners in this venture. So, no.
I think anyone who listens, Gab, know that is not true.
What do you mean?
Well, you're the dominant one. You're the alpha of the two.
Yeah, the first name is Gab.
Somebody's got to be alpha.
Gab. He's Gab and Jules.
Yeah, exactly. Jules is just a forgotten one, isn't it?
When Gab goes
to... You guys are being very unkind, and I'm going to tell him tomorrow morning.
Well, he only knows what he knows.
When Gab goes
skiing... Well, he already knows. I just texted him.
When he goes skiing, it's the Jules and Gab podcast. Whenever Gab goes skiing.
Yeah, that's it. And Jules sits in your chair, doesn't he, Gab? When you go skiing, Jules sits there. It's interesting. He goes in the big boy chair.
If you look carefully, that desk is several inches taller than the other desk for a reason.
Yes. It's all, yeah.
So you have picked up on that.
Yeah. A bit like sort of Letterman and Leno, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
They used to sit up and they used to look down on their...
On the guests.
On the guests.
Yep. Yeah. Gab, who's fared worse so far from the Cristiano...
Most people look down on you, but that's not... It's just the way...
Well, yes, that's nature. Gab, who has fared worse so far from the Cristiano Ronaldo transfer? Ronaldo or Juventus?
Oh, Juventus. No question about it. Ronaldo's fared okay because he would have been at a really bad team at Juve, a team that's really struggling this season. And he would have been there till the end of the year and he would have been frustrated and things would have been falling around all around him. Now, you can say that things are kind of imploding at United as well, but at least he's playing, he's scoring goals, he's still Cristiano Ronaldo, and he has a really big stage to himself. So I think in that sense, it's Juve who fared worse on the pitch. Off the pitch, you know, losing him on August 31st before they could get in a replacement or reinvest some of the savings from his enormous salary, that obviously hurt Juve. But overall, no, I think Juve have been more hurt by this. I think it would have been much better for Juve, probably better for Ronaldo, and certainly better for United if they were going to sign them, if they'd simply come out and signed them in June. Because he was available there then, notwithstanding what everybody says. You know, you could have done it back then. Juve would have sold them to you. But hey, what's done is done.
Why did you tell people it was your birthday?
What do you mean, why did I tell people?
Was it like an attention thing?
What do you mean? Who did I tell?
Well, you must have told somebody.
Well, I assume they must have seen it on a social media thing.
Don't think so.
It's my birthday today. Please pay attention to me. Make me a cake.
I reckon. Along that line.
So when we brought you a cake for your birthday,
told
everybody.
That's the point, but you didn't.
Sorry?
I came in here on my birthday. Speak to the hand. Wait. I came in here on my birthday.
Yes.
Not too long ago. Kept stoom. Nothing. No posting.
I'm sure we would have given you something.
No. I was in here.
I don't think that's true.
It is true.
Weren't we in the middle of a pandemic at the time? So we weren't allowed food food.
Only at the end of September.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to bring food in then.
Things were moving along swimmingly. I was in here.
Right.
Never made a big song and dance about.
Alive. Yeah, I just sent out an email to everyone in the company. It's my birthday tomorrow. I want a cake, please.
See?
Please.
And it was a big one.
Give me attention. Gab, what's up with risotto? Is it rice or is it pasta?
I hate that.
Why would you make rice-shaped pasta? Just choose one.
Oh my god.
I don't know what to say. Between you going out and saying that people found out it was your birthday because it was trending on Twitter and TikTok and hashtag Dan Thomas birthday. That's how they found out. And this demented question. Risotto is rice. It's not rice-shaped pasta. Well, what kind of nonsense is that? It's rice. You go to Italy, there's rice fields. My great-grandmother worked in them. Wow. And you go and there's rice, and it's the same rice that you have elsewhere. Now, obviously, they're different strains of rice and whatever, but no, it's not pasta. Pasta is flour that gets milled and stuff and gets turned into pasta. They're completely different things. Well, what kind of questions
the thing is, Dan, the thing is, French and Italians, we normally don't go along very well, because we don't like each other.
Yeah.
But never a French guy decided to insult an Italian by asking him if risotto was rice or pasta, There is a certain level of, respect that you have to reach, because that's very... No, come on. Respect the risotto, guys. Leave the risotto alone.
Respect the risotto. That's our big takeaway. What do you think Stevie thinks of risotto?
He doesn't know where it is.
No, he definitely wouldn't.
He thinks a risotto is a car. Or a bike or something.
Thank you very much. I designed this earlier today.
Oh, my God! Oh, that's a little bit too much. That's a little bit too much.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. What a complete surprise.
Have you got it on your Twitter handle? Thank you, what your birthday is?
Probably. I don't know. Isn't it part of the thing?
No, it's not. Only if you sign up and it goes, do you want your birthday to be on your Twitter handle? Then you must say no.
I don't know. When's the last time you signed up? Like, Twitter's how many years ago? Do you remember what it is when you sign up? There you are. What a lovely surprise, everyone.
Makes you feel wanted.
Thank you very much. I'm going home for a big bowl of risotto. It'd be great.
Pasta. With pineapple on it.
With some pineapple on it.
I tell you what, that's
some ranch sauce.
That's the kind of technology, that's the kind of people we've got working at this company. They can come up with stuff like this.
Right.
Whim. Seconds it took them.
Beautiful.
It's amazing.
Okay, very nice. Thank you. And there's 41 balloons.
Can't get a graphic up.
All together.
On the league. Get this up.
Well, that's good, Craig. You seem to have taken the fact it's my birthday very well. We will be back tomorrow for more.
You made me feel better because I've just seen your age and I thought, I don't feel that bad now.
The Ballon d'Or will be announced tomorrow. Who will it be?
I think we've got a right crew in here.
Oh, my God. Goodbye.
I think we've got a right crew in, haven't we?
I don't know who's in tomorrow. Mm. I know you're not, so that's a lovely present.
I'm not.
Brainstorm. What's something that works so well that it's basically magic? Microwave. Air conditioning. What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/FC.